going to ask you now to see yourself within yourself, just to see yourself in a room, any room that's familiar to you, all alone, just you, doing something in a room, writing, sitting at a desk, cooking, whatever you wish, but see yourself in that room. And now let's accept temporarily the discovery of science that man is made of atoms and that this world is made of atoms. And now translate this view of yourself in that room so that you see yourself not as a physical being but as a configuration of atoms. And see everything else in that room as made of atoms, so that there is no physical self there, no material forms there, just different shades of gray, different shades of white, different shades of beige, all made of different kinds of atoms. And that's all that is in the room that you're seeing yourself in. And this is what science says you are. The furniture is made of atoms, the floor, the ceiling, the body. And pretty soon you're a faceless person. You're simply atoms . And now, what is going to make you function? Where is your future? Where did you come from? What is the source of these atoms that are you, according to the best minds of science? Where is this going to lead you? Now, the surprising thing is that science cannot tell us the source of the atoms that comprise this world. And so we have atoms without a source, and that makes you, you might say, illegitimate. You have no source. You simply are there as atoms. And around you is a world of atoms, and you're connected. You're not separated from the world of atoms. So that every action of the atoms in the world causes in you a corresponding reaction. You're tied like a marionette to the atoms of the world. You have no control over yourself or your destiny. You don't know where tomorrow is coming from, because whatever moves in the world of atoms will move through you, eliciting a response from you. This is the nature of the bondage of man. Each of us, a form of atoms within a world of atoms, completely at the mercy of that which is the source of these atoms. And that source is not God. The master therefore called this the sleep. And appeared as spiritual consciousness among us to show us what to do to step out of a false world of atoms in which we are empowered by forces we cannot see into acts we cannot prevent, always at the mercy of that which is beyond our level of understanding. So that if in the atoms in the center part of our form, there is a diagnosis called cancer. Somebody comes along and cuts into those atoms to take out that which is called cancer. And science now then contradicts its own diagnosis that we are made of atoms and now prepares to operate on atoms. And you can see how ridiculous this is. You can see that no matter what you cut out of those atoms in a form, it is still at the mercy of the rest of the world of atoms, which is forcing its way into that form, and you're never getting at a cause. You're always treating an effect. And ultimately, the same form of atoms, moving through time, receives more impulses from other atoms. It becomes thinner or fatter, bigger or smaller, always older. And ultimately it passes out of the picture. And eventually another little form of atoms begins and it has a new name. Your reincarnated self. And you begin the parade again. Always tomorrow brings into today some more atoms and your body gets a little bigger. And you're said to grow. And your brain receives an impulse of atoms, and you have sensation. And your complete understanding is based upon not the intelligence of the Father in you, but the sensations of atom meeting atom. The sleep continues. Now you take an individual like that and you make him President of the United States. You take another one and you make him the Premier of Russia. And you take another one and you make her the Queen of England. But what have you got? You've still got bodies of atoms. And you can make leaders all over the world. But according to science, they are still bodies of atoms. And bodies of atoms have no free will. All they can do is to move about within the world of atoms. And so the illusion of free will, movement wherever they wish, is all within this atomic world. And you know by now that this atomic world is not your Father's kingdom. This world of atoms and those atomic forms in them called people represent a state of bondage, a sort of in-between world between the kingdom of God and the outer visible physical world. Now look at yourself again as a form of invisible atoms, and you will see that you are acted upon day in and day out by invisible forces that are beyond your level of understanding or perception. There's really nothing you can do but react. So we must come out of the belief that God is in these forms. God is not in the atom. Behind it, above it, even more invisible than the atom itself, is the true self. And this mist of atoms, which is mentioned in the second book of Genesis, this is the mist. These invisible atoms, which are the sum and substance of everything around us, the air. Invisible, but what is it? Hydrogen atoms, oxygen atoms, nitrogen atoms, atoms that never are separated from each other. And so you're breathing atoms with organs that are made of atoms. Your heartbeat is a movement of atoms. And then one comes who says, but I am not made of atoms. I'm not subject to the laws of atoms. You can't put a match to me and burn me. You can't fissionize the atoms, causing a radiating fire across the universe and burn my form, for I am not a configuration of atoms. I am the source behind all that you have discovered in your world of science as an atomic world. Behind it all am I. And my name is Christ. Not born of woman, not atoms, but free. Free of the mist of the world. And so this one says you must be reborn from this world of atoms. For as long as you continue in the belief that God is in these forms, you will come to that point where the form, in its death, not having been created by the Father, must pass into a formlessness to return again to the same kind of form. And so on earth there is a Christ in the form of Jesus. The same Christ who had appeared in the form of Buddha, the same Christ who had appeared in the form of Krishna, the same Christ who has appeared in all who are illumined. And this Christ in the form of Jesus trains a few disciples and then says, I must leave you now, and departs. This is not a form of atoms. And the disciples are trained that they are not a form of atoms. And across the earth, there is a morning light, called prophets. And then there is the blazing noonday light of the Christ. And then there is the evening light of the disciples and the apostles, all bringing light to the darkness of man who is in the midst of atoms. And there is a reunion behind the veil of atoms when the apostles and the disciples rejoin the Master. And this is the 1,000-year period when Satan is bound on earth. Now, as the disciples are trained, they leave their concept of a body of flesh made of atoms, and they lose their sense of being separated from reality. As this body of atoms that we inhabit moves through time and space, it is ever seeking something outside itself. Its food is external. Its experiences are sought in the outer world. It is ever seeking God and never finding God because there is nobody in that body of atoms. No self is in there. No life is in there. Sensation and animation have been accepted as life, and they are not. God is not in human flesh. Human flesh is made of atoms. God is not in atoms. And therefore, we who walk under the belief that we are in these forms are ever seeking God and can never find that Father because the we who are seeking are not here. We are not in these forms at all. Only God is here. Only the Spirit of God is here. And the only self that is here is the self that is God. And while the false dream consciousness created by Adams, created by the father of Adams, the mortal mind, seeks a God, there is no one to seek it, and the finding is impossible. And so Jesus steps out of the belief that he is form, that he is atoms, and discovers the one self that is God is his only self. I and the Father are one. And this is the hypnotism of the form of atoms. Seeking God, it is a false self to begin with, and it must be unselfed. And that is the problem we face. The unselfing of you in a form is the rebirth and the realization that I am the invisible spirit which is not in this form. And this form is but an appearance, a mental image, which has fooled the world. Now that is stepping behind the atom, above the atom, into my kingdom. And until you do that, all of the concepts that you entertain while in this form of atoms are separated from the Father and have no real substance or life. To oneself is to be reborn, regenerated, out of the belief in the mist of the world of atoms, out of the belief that God resides in a human form, out of the belief that you, being the child of God, can reside in a human form. And so you dwell for a while, seeing this form, until you have the feeling that all it is a passing picture in this moment. It will fool you because in the next moment it will be still there. And in every succeeding moment it will continue to be there, always slightly different. In 30 days it's a little different. In 30 years it's quite different. It's a succession of images with such lightning speed that no human eye or mechanism ever invented can register the changing images of your form. And as you become aware of these changing images that are called form, which change every second, but with a speed you cannot see, you begin to feel the nothingness of the human form. You can understand how it was not a creation of God. How it is simply an image in time and an image in space, passing right at this instant into yesterday, into tomorrow, becoming lost. So that 1 minute from now, that which you are this instant is all gone. And each succeeding moment is the same. Until there's no more form, then where are you? We ought to learn that we are right where we always were, even though the form is passing through. We are not in the passing form. We are the one consciousness of God. We are the divine consciousness. And this form that is passing through had a beginning, just as it will have an end. And it had a beginning before this beginning, too. If you could see each form that you have been in time, lined up one running into the next and then into the next, you would see that each form represents an outpicturing of the rising sense of consciousness within you. That rising consciousness outpictured the forms. They started in the material world as minerals. You rose up to the vegetable level. You rose up to the animal level. You have risen to the human level. And now, though we would stop, something very strange is happening. Another level. But this level is a very special level. It isn't just a better you. Just as each level was a complete change from mineral to vegetable, from vegetable to animal, from animal to human, this is a complete change. And this is the unexpected. This is that beyond the ken of science and religion. That this complete change is the development of a completely new species. And that species, although momentarily called spiritual man, will have another name. When you are in it, momentarily we call it Christ, but it will still have another name when you are in it. This next species is the preparation you are going through at the moment. When there were 7,000 who had not bowed to Baal, that was the preliminary announcement that there are those who are withheld of this generation as seed for the next. They are called the remnant. They are those who have found the consciousness of the Spirit. It is like a fruit bush. The fruit it gives today is not all that it will give in 30 or 60 or 100 days. There will be more fruit, and then again more fruit. And there are those on this earth today who are the fruit of this generation, who are the 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal, who are those who will be the seed of the new species. And that is why there is an end of a world. The end of the world is the beginning of a new species, which is not human. Where did Christ Jesus go? Not human. Where did the disciples go? They were not human. Where did the masters go? They're no longer human. They have formed a new species. They are not in bodies of atoms, are they? But rather they have been reborn of the Spirit. Once we sent these bodies to the Jordan, to wash in the Jordan. Now you can see how ridiculous it would be to send a body of atoms to wash in the Jordan. Now we have to send this body of atoms to a different place to wash in the Spirit. For when Christ enters in, then something happens. When Christ enters in, this body of atoms receives a new light. A new source takes over. Instead of the world mind, which is feeding your body of atoms, for atoms are nothing but world thought appearing invisibly as atoms. and they are completely under the dominion of world thought. And this world thought is the serpent. And so we are told to cast out the serpent, to cast out world consciousness, which moves the body of atoms unknown to itself. And although it has the idea of being free, it is as free as a character in one of your dreams. That character in your dreams may do all the moving around, but only within the dream. And so with these forms, they're free. They can get on a plane today and go to Alaska. They're free to do that, but only within the realm of an atomic world. Only within the three-dimensional universe. And you know how much dominion they have over that three-dimensional universe. But those who have had the touch of Christ, the beginning of the light, the awakening from the sleep of human atoms, begin to realize that I could never have been in a form that was not God created. And I am not form. I am not form subject to death. I am not form subject to disease. I am not form subject to human limitations. That is not God's creation, and therefore it is not I. Now, if we are the fruit that ought to be the seed of a new species, which is the basic idea behind the Christ teaching, then we must be prepared to attain a level higher than our own present level, a level which is capable of stepping out of that which can die, which can be diseased, which is subject to mortal or karmic law, and putting on the garment of immortality means stepping out of that which is mortal, stepping out of deadness. Christ entering in is the quickening, and this is the stepping out of deadness, the quickening of the spirit. Releases you from the belief that you lived in that form. And when you are released from that belief, you no longer have to seek God. Because the separation only existed when you lived within that form of atoms. That was where the sense of separation was harbored. When you stepped out of the belief in living in that form, you found there never was a separation. The only sense of separation was when your whole focus was based upon being a body of atoms, finite, limited, dependent on outside sources. And now comes a great big word, something you may never have heard before or considered. And that word is self-existent. You are moving into a realm of self-existence. Self-existence means that you are dependent upon no thing in this world. Not for life, not for sustenance, not for breathing, not for air, not for water, not for food. But self-existent, meaning self-contained. Christ is self-contained. And you can never be self-existent in a form. Only outside of form. So the disciples had to wait. They were not yet self-existent. But when they were lifted up, brought behind the veil, out of the atomic mist, all remnants of separation or sense of separation, all remnants of mortality were cut away by the sword of truth. No longer were they separate individuals. No longer were they in the mist, subject to the karmic law of this world. And this took place for 1,000 years. You too will spend 1,000 years that way. And it will be as one day in the Father's house. As we pass from the mist, out of the sense of form, out of the sense of separation, behind the veil, into the spirit, we simply become invisible to human sense. And the second coming of Christ for you will be when you do this and are received again in the invisible by He who walked the earth teaching in the visible. You will find that in this invisible training through Christ, you will be prepared to serve in the Father's house. Now, as you know, we're in a very different level of this teaching than where we were 20 weeks ago. But these last four chapters of the Revelation all take place out of this work. Not in what mankind has called the millennium, but in a different millennium. In a millennium that takes place only in heaven, in spiritual consciousness. This is the first millennium, in the invisible, where through Christ all are trained who have made their transition out of flesh. And as you remember last week, that is where the first resurrection begins. And then, after this 1,000 years, these same spirits are permitted, through their new training, their complete knowledge of the absence of separation, their total acceptance of the allness of God, to now train us who stand still in the sense of flesh, to burn through our concepts by divine love, that we may understand that flesh is grass, that only through the soul can God be received, to lift us out of our world of the mind into our world of the soul. And that is what you have been feeling for these last years, the inner activity of those who have gone before you into the kingdom, whose influence is seeping through into your consciousness, ever burning away the remnants of material consciousness, of sensation, a false sense of self, burning away that atomic mist which alone creates the sense of separation from the one perfect self. Now you're in the mystical path, where you no longer depend on your sense mechanism to lead you to truth. You realize that all truth is beyond the reach of the five senses of man. You cannot marry truth with your five senses. And those five husbands, those five senses, must give way to one husband. That one husband becomes God. You marry God. You become the bride of the Lamb. And so all of this is part of the preparation for these last few chapters here. The capacity to feel yourself unfleshed as pure consciousness, unconfined, living in the Father living in you. We must go through this complete purification in order for the Spirit to descend, to lift us, to guide us, to feed us, to teach us, to awaken us, to open our eyes to the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so, looking here at the Revelation, we find certain things which are slightly beyond the normal religious teachings. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now the souls beheaded for Christ, beheaded for a witness of Jesus, are those who had maintained and integrity toward truth. And thus, having discovered they were not bodies of atoms, they were not bodies of flesh, they were not living in forms, they were free, they were the child of God, they were pure spirit, they were completely under the government of God, they were not subject to karmic law. They refused to harbor the belief in a material self. They gave no power to matter or mortality. And so these are called souls beheaded as a witness to Jesus. And so, not having the belief in matter or mortality, they did not have the mark of the beast in their forehead or their hands. And in this consciousness now, John sees them. John sees them behind the veil, learning from the Christ that there has never been a separation from God. They are learning that God is truly all there is. This little body of atoms doesn't believe God is all there is. He believes in every windstorm that rises, in every germ that invades the human skeleton. But these behind the veil, having made transition through fidelity to Christ, learning to be teachers, are long past the belief that there can be a separation from God. And knowing that, they know, as we are one with the Father and can never be less, always the power of the Father is in the midst of us. The wisdom of the Father is in the midst of us. Every error that occurs, every error, without exception, that occurs must be a lie. Because God, never being separate from yourself, there is no place where error can occur. So we learn how to become souls beheaded as a witness too. The beheading is the removal of the belief in matter, the removal of the belief in material power. And the throne is the new understanding. In your new understanding, you sit on the throne, knowing that every error is occurring only in a body of atoms. And that error is being projected by a world mind into that body of atoms, which, believing it is separate from God, is accepting the error. And this second self, this false sense of self, is both the cause and the effect of its own false belief in self. It is really a dream consciousness called a mortal being. And we are stepping out of those dream consciousnesses now. We can feel that I never was a dream consciousness. I have ever been the living child of the living Father. Now, this is all part of the first resurrection in heaven that John is witnessing now. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now we are the rest of the dead. It is only after the 1,000 years of training behind the veil, received by those who have made transition, that the impetus and impulses of them are sent to us to redeem us. And so the 1,000 years after Jesus were the training in heaven, and the 2,000 years now is the training on earth from those behind the veil. And we are considered then the second. We are considered the dead, meaning we are mortal. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. To be Christed, to accept identity, not in the form of flesh, but in the spiritual self, is the participation in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Now that second death, which has no power on those who participate in the first resurrection, brings into mind one question. What is the first death? And what is the second death? And we find that the first death, we are living now. This is it. Not awake to Christ within, we are dead to Christ. The second death is when we die in these atomic forms because we have not awakened to Christ. Whoever takes part in the first resurrection awakens from this first death to Christ. And him the second death does not touch. Is that clear? That the second death, which is human death, does not touch those who have awakened to Christ. Now there's more to the second death, but we'll hold that a moment. And those who have awakened to Christ, who have taken part in the first resurrection, on whom the second death hath no power, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now that's the future you can look forward to. A priest of God is one who receives the word of the Father, receives the light, and therefore is not in darkness. As you make your transition, spending your 1,000 years with Christ, you will be following the disciples who did exactly that. Now, this is not a path that you choose, although it may seem so. It has been chosen for you. If you are the fruitage of this generation, this is your path. If not, you will return to do it later. There is no taint, no sense of guilt. There is no personal evil in being prepared to accept Christ or not being prepared, any more than there would be for a berry on a tree to have blossomed or not to blossom. Each has his time, and only you can feel whether it is your time or not. And if it is your time, there's really nothing you can do except follow the will of the Father, accepting Christ, rejecting the sense of a mortal self in a physical form which science says is made of atoms, and feeling the invisibility of your being, the Christ self, accepting it and then trusting it, rejecting all else. If you're prepared for this, Spirit has prepared you, and Spirit will do the works. Now that's where we are at this moment. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now then, as the teaching in the perfection of God behind the veil is completed, this light seeps forth into earth, and as light enters consciousness, Satan being darkness, Satan is loosed. Light in your consciousness, truth in consciousness, removes the sense of darkness, removes the sense of error, removes the sense of a self that is not the divine self. Every belief in a self that is not divine must go, because there is no other self. That little form of atoms, about which science knows so much, is not the divine self. The very scientist who sits in his atomic form will pass away. Now the loosing of Satan on earth is light entering the darkness of our consciousness, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The human race all of it is like Gog and Magog going out to battle. As the false belief in life in human form spreads throughout the universe, man is Gog, the Antichrist, living in the land of Magog, the belief in separation from God. And so the belief in form is the Antichrist, Gog, and from it comes its correlative belief, the belief in separation from God, because we know form is separated from God, and that's Magog. And this is what holds the earth in bondage, the belief in form and the correlative belief that because we're in form, we are separated from God. Gog and Magog holds the world in its hands, and this is the loosening of Satan on the earth, captivating every human mind, controlling every human body, so that even the scientist who knows about atoms finds that he cannot control the activity of those atoms, and he has his physical problems like the rest of the world. He too is under the prison of Gog and Magog. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the earth, the camp of the saints above, and the beloved city, and fire came down out of God from heaven and devoured them. And now the work for 1,000 years shows forth on the earth. Revelation begins again. New revelation begins. The inner truth begins to come through to those on earth. And even though belief in form and separation from God is prevalent all over the earth, here 1 out of 100, here 1 out of 100, here 1 out of 1,000 receives new revelation. The fire, the work of spirit, permeates this consciousness of man, and suddenly Gog and Magog do not make any penetration beyond a certain level. You can stand up to form and the belief in separation from God and say, wait a minute, if God is all, this cannot be true. And your yardstick is always that. God is all. God is all. Not will be, but is, and always has been. And the hypnosis of the world begins to slide right by you, making no contact in your consciousness. Whenever you can stand in the knowledge that God is all, you are saying to Gog and Magog, here you cannot enter, because this is the consciousness of truth. And instead you are opening your consciousness to those souls that have been beheaded as a witness to Jesus, who live behind the veil, right here on this earth, teaching, leavening our consciousness, opening the whole world consciousness to the new truth, the new age, the new species, the new self, which is man of spirit, living in the Father, one with the Father, free, eternal, deathless, perfect, the divine image and likeness, and not the human counterfeit. The devil that deceived was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Now, fire and brimstone is God's love. And the torment of the beast, the torment of Satan, is that when you have accepted the love of God within you, Satan has no place to hang his head. The belief in good and evil has no place in you, and that is its torment. It finds no outlet in your consciousness. I think John summed it up this way. There's a moment when you reach this level of awareness. It's in John 14, the 21st verse. This moment of awareness is where you stand unopposed. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works that I do. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto the Father. I go unto the Father. As you have accepted the I, the Spirit, as yourself instead of the body of atoms, this I which goes unto the Father removes the sense of separation. And there is that conviction born of this awareness, which comes about through the love of the Father in you, enabling you to reject the false sense of self. Have you found that false sense of self yet? Have you isolated it? That little wriggly serpent that gets up in the morning and decides what it has to do. You remember we worked on finding that self, putting a saddle on it, or a lasso, or a collar, and curbing it, holding it down, collaring that false ego. And then as you control the false ego, all of the world mind, which tries to force its way through as that ego, is bottlenecked. There's no place for it to go. And this is your unselfing and your rebirth. It takes a lot of consistent and determined effort to find that false sense of self and to hold it down, and to not let it move out, taking your whole life in its hands and pretending that it is you. But John has done that, and because he has done it, he is proving the testimony of Jesus Christ, who had also done it. He is showing that the false sense of self can be isolated, can be controlled, can be limited, and finally can be denied. Deny thyself. And then you find yourself following in a different kind of a journey. You're outside of the self, outside of the form. And you're not in the moment of time that is passing anymore. You're not dying. You're not aging. You're not in the middle of karmic law. There's a different you. And it's not in a form at all. It's a high state of consciousness. The old self is dead. And there is a new self there, which is the only self that ever was there. And until you have your experience with that self, you'll be in a separated sense of self, which can never be sustained by the Father. Now, this is what John is saying when he said, reporting the words of Jesus, believe on me. Believe on the self of God where you are, and not on the self that has traveled this earth in a form. There's a lot of inner work before you can feel that. But that's when you will change forms and change universes at the same time. That changing is an experience that will never be the same for two people. But I can tell you about an experience that I have known, in which you more or less see yourself changing from one universe to another. It's really the changing from the false sense of self to the self that you are. And the way I can best explain it at first is these two airplanes that are going parallel to each other, and you're on one of them, but you want to be in the other one. And so both pilots slow down the planes until they're both going at the identical speed, and then they throw a ladder between them, and you grab hold of this rope ladder, you swing out of one plane, you're hanging on the rope ladder, and now they haul you into the second plane. You've changed planes in midair. Now, do it with universes instead. You're on one universe, and there's another one right alongside of it, but you have to move from one to the other. And as you move out of one, into the other, and land on the other, You're not in a form. You don't come into the Father's universe as a form. You're kind of like a butterfly. Just a little point of consciousness.